Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Our God is not a God of scarcity. He is one of abundance. And so we should be approaching our love stories not as like, oh, I'm single and this feels like a badge of shame. No. God has abundance for your story, whatever that is going to look like, because that's in his nature.
Everybody, it's your girl Kate here, and oh my goodness, a lot has happened since we were last on with you guys. Right now, JJ is not co-recording this intro with me because he is currently in his Prius traveling the almost 30 hours across the country to our new home in Franklin, Tennessee. Oh my goodness. So as of this week, we have officially moved to Franklin, Tennessee from California. It is so surreal and so incredible. Oh my goodness. On top of that, we just had a baby girl. Eleanor Mae Tomlin was born on Leap Year Day, February 29th, 2024. And in case you missed it, I did indeed labor for pretty much 40 hours. So that was no joke. But JJ was an actual dream during the whole process, and I could not have gotten through it without him. So there's just a few updates from the Tomlin side of things. And I'm sure when JJ is back with me next week, we'll have even more things to say together. But for right now, I am so pumped because we have a mini series that's going to be going on for the next 8 to 10 weeks. And it's all on online dating, y'all. I realized that we never had a full-blown season on online dating, so I've taken some of our best episodes from the archive, and we are bringing those back and giving you everything you need to know about online dating. And actually, today's episode to kick off this series is from HODC 2023, from a very beloved, dear friend of Heart of Dating, Hannah Brencher, and she did an entire talk at HODC 2023 in Atlanta on online dating. This episode and this talk is the best episode to start out the season because she gives you her story of how she met her husband Lane online, and she talks through all the ins and outs of online dating, her best tips, and it is so good. So we wanted to start off super practical in this series. And what to expect the rest of the series, we're going to talk more about online dating. We're going to talk about going on dates with multiple people. We're going to talk about ghosting. We're going to talk about the stigmas around online dating and so many other things. So you are going to want to listen each and every week. And you know, it is springtime and a perfect time of year to get out there and go on some fun dates and start a new season by getting online. So let's do this, y'all. Let's dive into the first episode in this mini series with our girl, Hannah Brencher.
My name is Hannah Brencher. I am an author and an online educator who lives here in Atlanta. I'm also an unofficial matchmaker and a catcher of catfish. So if you have either of those, come and find me because you've never seen a catfish hunted down until you've hung out with me. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Trust me, I pay for all the subscriptions for the background checks. Like I said, I live here in Atlanta. I moved to Atlanta 8 years ago. I thought it was gonna be a phase. My whole family thought it was gonna be a phase. And about a year later, I got on a dating app. I met a man who opened up car doors for me and said, yes, ma'am. And I was like, nope, this is not a phase. This is not a drill. And now we have been married for 7 years, And we have a 2-year-old daughter named Novalee. She was born a week after everything shut down in the pandemic. So to me, she is still a newborn because time stopped in the pandemic. Does anybody else still feel like you're like, no, it's 2020. For sure, it's 2020. Yes, time is weird. But she is 2 years old and she is so fun. And if you've ever heard me speak before, I typically speak on the Bible. I talk about mental health. I talk about establishing routines and rhythms. But today I get the pleasure of speaking on the topic of online dating. Woo, right? Some of you are like, I don't even want to go here, but I'm glad you're here, okay? And my hope in all of this is that we can just have an honest conversation about online dating, what we like, what we don't like, what needs to change, what needs to change in us. I didn't want to come here with a presentation. I started writing out points and then I was like, I have way too many points, so we're just gonna go hard in the paint. And we're just gonna have a talk about the ins and outs of online dating. Because whether you're on the apps or not, we can't deny that there is definitely still a stigma inside the church and outside the church regarding online dating. And so we're gonna approach that stigma and I am gonna share my personal experience with you because trust me, I should be the poster child for online dating. I did it all the right ways and I did it all the wrong ways. So I am an open book to you. I messed up so that you don't have to. So a quick disclaimer before anything else, I just want to recognize in this moment that online dating can be hard. It can be fun, but it can also be hard. And I think we just have to say that apps are hard. A lot of times the things that are happening on our phones are hard because we're living in a different culture where these devices have started to take over everything. And it's been especially so since the pandemic, since we were all shut up inside, that this was the only real way that some of us could meet people. I want to say that sometimes you're gonna meet people that are not responsible with these apps. And I wish I could change that, but I can't. And sometimes it's gonna feel like you're playing a bit of a game or it's a gamified experience. And sometimes it can feel like a shopping experience where you are an option in a sea of other options. And so I don't want to belittle that. I wanna talk about that up front. So whether you've had a good or a not good online dating experience, I just wanna say that I'm not belittling your experience if it has been a hard situation. The other thing that I want to say is that I am not pro-app or against apps. I don't want to push you to do something that does not feel right for you. I want to come and say that apps to me are neutral. They are a tool that can help you meet someone who is also looking to meet someone. Because the reality is a lot of times we're just not meeting in person anymore. And it doesn't mean that we can't, but I'm sure every one of us has that dream, right? That you like bump into the person in the bookstore, or like in aisle 7 of Whole Foods, that's where the person's gonna be. Men in the room, if you would just go stand in the aisle of Whole Foods, like aisle 7, you will have a wife by sundown. Like, I can guarantee that. But here's the thing, regardless of how we feel about the apps, God is sovereign over the apps. And God is sovereign over your story, whether an app is used in your story or not. And so I wanna pray, and then we're just gonna dig right in. God, I thank you so much for this time to get to have an honest conversation, to get to enjoy one another, to get to laugh, God, to take a topic that can sometimes feel hard to navigate, God, and just release it from the stigmas, God. You're sovereign over our stories, God. You're sovereign over these conversations, God. And so I just pray right now that you would just come and you would take over, God. You do these talks so much better than I do, so just come and have the microphone, God. I ask all of this in your beautiful son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if someone had told me about 10 years ago that I was going to meet my future husband on an online dating app, I would have laughed square in their face, like no way. So much so that I had a little blog on the internet back in the day, I think I was 22 years old, when I wrote this blog post about how I was going to meet somebody in real life. That was going to be my story. I was going to meet them in aisle 7 of the grocery store, and we were gonna bump into each other, and he'd have like Walt Whitman poetry tucked under his arm, and it would be the start of a great love story. And I will never forget a comment that somebody left on my blog that said, hey, I think you probably were like well-intentioned in writing this, but me and my husband met online and our story is no less special because that happened. And that hit me in my core because I want to challenge you to think about what you actually believe about online dating. Think about it. Bring that to God. Because whatever you believe about online dating, it's going to affect how you go into online dating. If you look at online dating and you're like, it's a gauntlet out there, then you're not going in with a very positive mindset. Whatever you believe about online dating is affecting other parts of your life. And I might even say it's affecting the relationship that you have with God. Because I had to realize at that time in my life that what I thought about dating apps was that people who aren't good enough to meet someone in person have to meet someone online. That's what I thought. People who aren't good enough to meet someone in person have to meet someone online. And there is an issue right there. And that is one of many lies that I needed to get over. Now, let me free you with that lie, if that is something that you have believed, because it's not about how you meet, it's about who you marry. It's not about how you meet, it's about who you marry. And now I know that we were raised to want a rom-com story. We were raised to expect Taylor Swift songs coming out of everyday life. I mean, for some of you in the room, like, you've seen, like, Promposals, right? And flash mobs. And sometimes people getting asked to go to prom is like more extravagant than somebody's marriage proposal. And even that, like my marriage proposal, like my 80-year-old grandfather did not come flash mobbing out from behind a tree. That didn't happen. But I think that's the culture that we live in. And I always take the advice of my mom. She said to me years ago, she says, if it starts with an explosion, it typically ends with an explosion. Wisdom, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. If you do your relationship right, then how you met will become the least exciting part of your story. And that is my prayer for everyone in this room, that how you meet will be the least interesting part of your love story. You don't need a crazy how you met story. You need a crazy how we managed to meet over and over and over again story. When it was good, when it was hard, when it was holy, because that is marriage. It is meeting somebody at different junctures of life in unexpected circumstances, when things change, when hardships hit, when pandemics come along. It's saying, I choose you. I put all the other options aside and I choose you. And we are going to figure out how to meet each other over and over and over again. You see, I don't look at my husband and say, all thanks to that app Hinge. No, I say all thanks to God that he was put in my path. Like just in the same way that if any of you take my advice today and you go to the aisle 7 of Whole Foods, you're not gonna say all thanks to Whole Foods that I met my future wife. No, all thanks to God. And so I humbled myself at some point in my story and I got on the dating apps. And friends, I wish I could have gone back to that girl and I wish I could have changed my attitude from the beginning, because when I first started dating online, I dated like we were in the midst of an apocalypse. Like whoever I matched with, this was the last eligible match on the planet. So like had to make it work. And I mean, I was on all the apps for all the wrong reasons. Like The Bachelor, I was here for the wrong reasons. And there's a lot of them out there. I can't break them all down for you, but there's Hinge. Anybody here tried Hinge? Okay, back in the day, Hinge was a mutual friend on Facebook. That would be your reason why you met, kind of like a door hinge. There's Tinder, there's Farmers Only, there's Coffee Meets Bagel. That one was trippy, that was weird. Because the men were actually bagels and they were delivered every day. But I talked to somebody last night and that app has stepped up its game, so props. There's Match. Is eHarmony still around? Okay, here's the thing. I think it's great if you want to pay to play. I think that's amazing. That means you're serious. You are investing in the relationships. Let's not knock it because people are putting money into something that matters to them. But here, I was on all of them. And like I said, for the wrong reasons, because I wanted to feel desired, because I didn't want to miss out, because I wanted to find my person. And deep down, I believed that I could do a better job than God could. The lie was believing God's not working, so I should be. And so, again, like I said, I started with points, so this would have been a point, but then I said, no, there's just too much here. If I was to make a point right now, I would say it is important to know your why and test your motives. Why are you using dating apps? What is your attitude going into this? How can I keep Christ at the center of this? Take inventory for yourself. Because I know what I was doing was I was allowing God to come and be in all these other areas of my life, but my dating life was off limits. It was the thing that I was going to handle. And it was also because I was doing it in all the wrong ways. I probably, if like I had could hear God at that time, God would have just been like, you need to get off the apps. He was saying that through friends, but I was like, no, then I'll just do it in secret. You have to be willing to test your motives. Ask your friends to get involved in it. Don't do it in isolation, but also don't do it in a spirit of shame, because God did not give you a spirit of shame. That didn't come from him. So don't go onto those apps carrying something that God didn't pass off to you. That's no way to meet somebody. We have to be willing to release the shame from this area of Christian dating world. Technology is a tool. We have to use the tools and not let the tools use us.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But let's go back into that lie for a second. God's not working, so I should be. I'm going to be real with you, and I'm thankful. I don't think anybody that I matched with is watching the live stream. I don't think they're here either. I compromised myself in online dating many times, and I'll just admit that. And I kept God off my profile a lot of times at the beginning because I didn't want to freak guys out. I convinced myself that if he didn't bring it up in our first conversations, then that was okay. And let me just get into this for a second, because off of online dating, I met somebody and we started talking, and he wasn't a Christian. And I thought, that's okay, like I can make this work. And my excuse was, he's treating me better than any Christian man had ever treated me. Right? Okay, so I'm not the only one. Takes me out on dates, like did all these great things. And so what I did was I dated him, but I dated him with half of myself. I didn't even bring up the faith. I wasn't trying to missionary date. I was trying to date as that's a separate part of my story that you don't need to have and you're not interested in it. And I look back and I think to myself, that's like giving somebody a tour of your house, but not showing them the living room, right? Like that's that important room, that favorite part about you. And when we try to date saying, oh, it's okay because he's not a Christian, but like he respects me. It's like, no. And here's the thing. We ended up breaking up. He didn't know why we broke up. I knew why we broke up because I knew from the beginning that we were doomed to fail. Years later, I wrote my first book and I released it, and he went to the bookstore and he read the whole entire thing. And he wrote me a letter in the mail. Yes, I'm being honest with you guys. And if he's watching, I'm sorry, Andy. And he said in the letter, he called me out. He said, you could have just said it. Like you could have just said this was the most important thing in your life and it could have saved us a bunch of heartbreak. That had nothing to do with online dating. That was just an unplanned moment. Sorry. But all that to say is that I had dated him and never shown him the living room in the house and thought that's okay. That's just half of the love story that God had for me. That wasn't it. That faith had to be the central part of the story, not the first thing that I kicked out. And so on the other side of the spectrum, because I flung myself to the other side of the spectrum, I thought as long as he brings up God, then everything else is okay. He can talk about God and still not respect you. He can talk about God and still not see you as an equal. She, because women, we are terrifying. She can talk about God and she can still play games with you. He can spend... This is my man, Ken. I love him. He's single. We'll talk. He's got a flight to make, though, but he's here. He can spend all day reading his Bible in a coffee shop and still not know how to get a job. We have to be willing to establish our non-negotiables. And your non-negotiables should be values. Because the issue is that we now live in an age where we have way too many options, right? People used to marry the next door neighbor, but that's because it's as far as they were traveling in life, to the mailbox and back. Like, that's exactly it. And when you go back and you actually read the research of people that were interviewed during that time, like, yes, a lot of them found love, but a lot of them said, I wish I had more options. I wish I had a choice. So we get choices, but it seems that the more options we have, the pickier we become. Now, I don't have data on that. I just have a 2-year-old. And the more options that she is given, the less she can actually commit. I wear black. That is what I wear every single day of my life. And I was like, no one introduce her to the Disney princesses. No one. Don't do it. She found him. She found him at summer camp. And I mean, she is enamored with these princesses and the dresses. They're not just like, when she puts on that dress, she becomes that princess. But she has too many of them because Nana, me, we all played into it. We're like, this is so sweet, get her another dress. She needs to have wardrobe changes all throughout the day, and her emotions are so tied to them. And it's the reality is that she has too many options, and so she can't commit to one. But when I give her 3 options and I make her pick one, she feels a lot more freedom in picking one. So think about your non-negotiables. What matters to you? What actually matters to you? Do they need to value family? Are they respectful? Do they have friends? That's a good one. They should have friends. What is their time like with God? Non-negotiables are not, I want to marry someone who is an accountant who wears black socks. And I only know that because that was the hill I was going to die on for a long time. He had to wear black socks because I love some good black socks. You know, like ankle. Yeah, it's cute. And he had to be an accountant. And my therapist was like, you really need to let that dream die. Who do you think married an accountant with black socks? This girl. No. But in all seriousness, I was okay if he wasn't an accountant. We need to have a list of values, not superficial traits. I met somebody last night. I said I was going to call her out. I'm not going to say her name, but she said a deal breaker for her was when you smile without your teeth. Honey, you can teach a man to smile with his teeth, but you cannot teach him to respect you if he already thinks he is above you. Non-negotiables. Because here's the thing. You are going to build something with this person. That is what marriage is. That is what partnership is. That is what a family is. It's something that you build every single day. So yeah, like if we were building our family right now and all I had to account for it was black socks and an accounting degree, it's like, that's not loyalty. That's not trust. That's not respect. That's not how that person treats other people. So if you're here today and you're like, but I don't even know what to look for. I don't even know what my non-negotiables should be. Then let me tell you 3 things that you need to look for. Are you ready? This is my formula. It has gotten so many people, husbands and wives. Okay. You need to look for the 3 C's. Now, God is like the umbrella in all of this. So I'm just going to preface by saying that. The 3 C's: chemistry, capacity, and calling. Chemistry, capacity, and calling. Now, chemistry is easy, right? Like, do you want to hold their hands? Do you want to be alone with them? Like, I'm going to keep it PG here. But for some reason, that's usually the first thing that's, like, not there, and people justify that it's okay. It's It's like, oh, it's okay because like he loves the Lord, but like I'm not attracted to him. No, you need to be attracted to them. Because if you're not attracted to them now, you're not going to be attracted to them 10 years into marriage and it's going to be a lot harder. There should be that spark, and there's nothing wrong with desiring that spark. So chemistry, that's the first one. The second one is capacity, meaning when stuff gets hard, what does that person do? Do they run? Do they ghost? Do they flee? I once got in an argument with an ex, and he packed up his whole entire car and fled west. I'm not kidding you. He said, I'm going west, and I don't know when I'm coming back. And it wasn't even a big argument. And I said, and then we're breaking up, I guess. Like, we're breaking up, because that's not the capacity I need in this season. Like, what does that person look like when things get tough? Because marriage is hard, and marriage is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's amazing, but it's also very hard. And so you want to match each other in capacity. And then that third one is calling. Now, that does not mean that you have to have the same calling, but you need to be on board with each other's callings. Whatever she is called to do, you need to support her in that. And whatever he is called to do, you need to support him in that. And when they tell you what their calling is from the beginning, believe them. Don't think that you can change them, or you can think, well, eventually, she said she doesn't want kids. I can make her want kids. No, that is not a firm foundation right there. Chemistry, capacity, and calling. But here's the thing. You are not going to miss what God has for you. If you are in constant pursuit of him, you cannot miss it. And so when I moved to Atlanta 8 years ago, I used all the apps, like I said. But I was doing it in secret because I was new to this city and I knew I shouldn't be using the apps. I knew I should just be planting roots down. I should be making friends. I should be getting comfortable with where I felt God had called me to. God had called me to Atlanta, and I knew that. I had called myself to Atlanta because I said there's going to be a husband there in Atlanta, so I'm going. And I was on all the apps, again, in secret, and I thought at the six-month mark, God, what are you doing? Because I came here to meet someone, and there's no one here. And I had to learn that God didn't bring me somewhere to meet my expectations. He brought me somewhere for my transformation. That's what he was doing. And so at that 6 month mark, I ended up going through what I look back now and see it was a very severe depression that I walked through. And I nearly lost my life to that. And it was the hardest time in my life. And rest assured, I was like not on the dating apps for any part of that. But I always stand on stages and say, I would go through it again and again and again to say, become the same outcome. That's when my foundation and faith became real. That's when my relationship with God became real, because I saw who he was in the dark and I believed him. And so I do remember in January of that year, being in New York City with my friend, and my friend said, hey, there's this app called Hinge and you should download it. There's like great men on there. They have jobs. And I was like, oh, yes, it's amazing. And I downloaded the app, and I probably had the app for maybe 24 hours before I deleted it again, because I realized I am not in a space to date anybody right now. Nor do I think that it's actually helping anybody if I get on a dating app and I make my mess their problem, you know, because I was in a mess at that time. And so I got off of that app very quickly, and about 8 months later, I downloaded it again. Now, here's the crazy part of this story. So when I moved to Atlanta at first, there was this little gathering. It was called Acquaint. And it met on Thursdays at this little pub, and it was for entrepreneurs and people around the city. And I would go every single week being like, I bet he's here. I bet my husband's here. He's an entrepreneur. It's going to be great. And I'd meet people, and that, like, literally I could go back and think, I wish I had met them for who they were and not for the potential that they could be my soulmate. And I went every single week, and I never met anyone. And when that depression hit, I had to fly back to Connecticut to fight for my life, because I hadn't planted any roots down in this city. So the people that knew me were in Connecticut. The people that knew how to help me fight were in Connecticut. So I flew back to Connecticut. And in that same season, a guy named Lane started showing up to a little event called Acquaint. That's my husband now, spoiler alert, but he started going right when I left. And turns out there were many junctures where we had actually been in the same spaces, known the same people, just missed one another. There was an event where I was the girl serving the corn dogs. It's a great event, Brother Moto, woo-woo. And he says he ate a corn dog that night, and I'm like, I'm the only one that served the corn dogs. We just didn't see each other because it wasn't the right time. And so what happened after that depression is I started to work on myself and like really work on myself because I realized that I was having a Julia Roberts complex, meaning that I was willing to date people and assimilate and become whoever they wanted me to be if they would just love me. If you've never seen Runaway Bride, like, you've got to see it. But the whole crux of the story is that however the person that she's dating, however they liked their eggs, that's how she liked her eggs. So if they liked them scrambled, she liked them scrambled. If they liked them over easy, she liked them over easy. And she never knew how she liked her eggs. And I mean, I even took it so far as I went to Waffle House, I ordered every egg on the menu, and I found out how I like my eggs. I like them over medium. I got serious about my faith because I didn't want to talk about meeting somebody who was serious about their faith if I wasn't serious about my faith as well. I dug in deep. I started a workout group in my neighborhood with some of my friends because that was a passion of mine that I had just let slip. I started plugging more into the church and community. I said yes that I could do things for my friends while I was single, babysitting, showing up, filling in the cracks for my friends that were experiencing hard times in their marriage. I embraced the singleness, and anytime that I felt desperate or alone and I wanted to retreat back to the apps, I would write a letter to my future husband. And I know that that can sound a little bit corny, and I even did like video messages. Thank God I lost those because they were desperate. But the night before we got married, I gave him a box full of letters that I had written to him since I was 14 years old. And so I learned in that season that I had been doing everything all wrong because I didn't need anyone to complete me. I was already complete. I was already whole. I needed to find a complement. And in order to find a compliment, I needed to know who I was and what I brought to the table. And so I got on the dating apps again in September of that year. And I went in with a different attitude. I went in saying, no, I don't need a husband, but I bring a lot to the table and I want to share that with somebody. And about a few days later, I matched with Lane. And I waited 24 hours for him to say something, and he didn't say anything at all. And I was like, okay, like, my rule had been, okay, the guy has to reach out to me. Like, I have to be pursued. But I got to the point where I was like, oh, no, no, no. No one else is dating this guy. I'm dating this guy. So I reached out to him. And at the time, Hinge would give you these icebreakers. And I just messaged him, and I said, hey, there's some pretty tempting icebreakers that I could use. And all he wrote back was, try me. That was it. Little did I know that he didn't even want to be on the dating app. His friend had set him up on the dating app. He had just moved to Atlanta, and his friend is like, you need to date. And so I picked the icebreaker that was, tell me your life story in 5 emojis. This is like the most like 2020s love story. And all he did was send back 5 emojis. That was it. Not even a how are you, just 5 emojis. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to get creative with this. And I was like, well, lucky for you, I am a world-class emoji interpreter. So I am gonna tell you a little bit about your life right now. And I wrote him a story. And then I thrusted 5 emojis back and I said, now tell me my story. And he said, that's when the ice broke. And he was like, okay, she's funny. She's got puns. And he ended up writing me a little poem about my emojis. And we started talking back and forth. And a week and a half later, we met each other for the first time and got off the apps a few weeks later. Now, it seems like a simple story, but it was not, because like I told you, I went on many disastrous dates before this. But all that to say, you're not going to miss what God has for you. We were in all the same places at the same time, but we were just missing one another. And so I want you to be encouraged in that and like let that lead in everything that you do, that I will not miss what God has for me. Our God is not a God of scarcity. He is one of abundance. And so we should be approaching our love stories not as like, oh, I'm single and this feels like a badge of shame. No. God has abundance for your story, whatever that is going to look like, because that's in his nature, is to be good to his kids, not to get to you and be like, oh, you get the table scraps. Sorry about that. That's not the character of God. And if anybody ever says that it is, that's not from God. But I'm going to go real rapid fire with you right now on some app etiquette, okay? App etiquette. For the ones that are like down to date on the apps. Now, some of you are going to think, no, she met her husband 7 years ago because she doesn't know what it's like now. It's like the Wild West out there. And I want to let you know that when Kate reached out to me to ask if I could do this, I said yes. And then I proceeded to get some practice in, not for myself, I promise. But my best friend's little sister had just moved to Atlanta and she wanted to get on the dating apps. And I said, oh, girl, I got you. And for multiple nights, we got on those apps together. We got her dates. We went through it. We had her profile up on the big screen. We were editing things. Like, I was with her in this. And the apps have not changed. It just seems that there's a lot more opportunity to, like, give the app money. Don't give the app too much money, okay? Don't get, like, $20,000 in debt on Hinge giving roses out. Okay, number one, if you're taking notes, number one, this is where the points come in. Be upfront about what you are looking for. Put it in your profile because people will broadcast what matters to them. And that's the same thing, is that if you go onto somebody's profile and they don't even mention God, they have an opportunity to fill in that they're Christian and they don't do it. Swipe left, get out of there. That's a red flag. We do not have time to not be upfront. We do not have time to missionary date or draw things out. If it matters, it should be in your profile. Number two, establish boundaries. Boundaries with yourself, because if you aren't careful, you will start checking those apps all day, every day. In the way that we check Instagram, in the way that we check our text messages, in the way that we check emails. The healthy way to do this would be to reserve some time in your day to go on the apps and to monitor yourself, or to invite a friend into it, to be accountable to them. And I know that that sounds crazy to be like, I don't need a chaperone for online dating, but like, I mean, if I'm talking to somebody on the apps at 3 a.m., like that's really not the foundation of the relationship that I really want to start, no offense. And at the same time, I think a lot of us, online dating or not, like we need to learn to monitor ourselves on these apps here. Not even just dating apps, Instagram, email. We are spending way too much time on these apps and we're wondering where hours of our lives are going. And all the while, these apps are changing our brain chemistry. The more we get onto them, the more it is warping what we want, what we desire, how we see ourselves, how we see God. Research recently said that the more that you interact with people on here, the less you actually want to interact with them in person. That is terrifying, guys. And let it start now, because then when you get married, and if it's in the cards for you to have a child, you're going to have to model that behavior for them. I can't tell my daughter, please don't be addicted to the screens, and then be addicted to the screens myself. It starts with us. And so be okay with monitoring the time that you spend on the dating apps. That's the best way for you to combat that option fatigue of feeling like, whoa, I could just keep swiping into oblivion and there are a million women here. Because don't think that that's not going to alter the way we look at one another. That we start to see one another as commodities and not as human beings with real feelings. The biggest thing that I can tell you is to establish boundaries in that area. Number three, apply wisdom. We know that if we seek wisdom, it will be given to us. If we ask for wisdom, it will be given to us. Now, every single area of our life needs wisdom, but especially this. Invite God into the apps. Pray to God, God, like, steer my steps, God. Help me to see where there's red flags. Help me to have people speaking into my life that can encourage me and give me truth and be with me in this journey. For so many years, I didn't apply wisdom to my dating life because, like I said, I thought that God wasn't working, and so I needed to be working. If I could go back, I would apply that wisdom over every area and every circumstance of my life, because I'm learning now it makes life so much easier. And all I had to do was ask for that wisdom. Number four, sorry if the numbers get messed up because I was just, yeah. There is a difference between online dating and online relationships. There's a difference. So someone had asked me in the questions on the app, how long should it be before we get off the app, or like he asks for my number, or we go on a date? I would say ASAP. As quickly as you can get off that app, get off that app. I love Hinge. I sent them a wedding invitation because that's where we met. But I love their slogan. Oh yeah, I totally did. They didn't come, but I love their slogan, and it's genius marketing. The app that is designed to be deleted. That's what should be happening here. And that's the thing, and I'm not saying, I cannot claim responsibility for all the people that get on apps, because you may meet some people and be like, okay, that was not a good experience. But at the same time, sorry, going back, I just lost my thought. At the same time, there will be people on those apps that try to drag it out. There'll be people on those apps that try to keep you in app limbo land, playing games with you. Don't be a game player on these apps. As soon as you can get off the apps, as soon as you can get each other's numbers, like, go for it. Plan a date. If we would take the pressure off of dating, we would, one, have more fun, and two, we would actually figure out what we like and who we like and the kind of person that we want to marry. If we would stop looking at every single person as like, that's my wife, that's my husband. And so don't drag it out. As quickly as you can, try to meet in real life. Number five, as I said, the goal of the app is to delete the app. And so I would say that people that don't decide to delete them after a certain amount of time of dating, that is a red flag. But it's also a conversation that you two need to have as you begin to date. Lane and I made a mutual decision to say, hey, we're going to get off the apps. But you got some people that are dating somebody and they still keep the apps there. And that's partly their fault. It's definitely their fault. They're an adult. But also, it's that algorithm of the app that makes you want to keep coming back and keep playing more. Number six, don't marry them in your mind. This is so hard. I know it's so hard. A few years ago, when Lane and I started house hunting, which Zillow is basically a dating app with houses involved. We started looking at houses, and I made that mistake of, you know, he shows me a house, we're not ready to buy the house. I'm like, this is my house. And it was like 3 miles away from me, so I'm like a walker. So I like walked to the house, and like sure enough, there was like one of those little keypads that you could just like click in and go walk the house. Has anybody seen those? Like, apparently now we're just walking in vacant houses whenever we feel like it. And so the amount of times that I walked through that house was embarrassing. The people, the real estate agents were probably like, what is wrong with this chick? She's back. Like, she better buy it. And I would come into this house and I'd pray over this house. And I was like, I saw our kids scampering upstairs. I saw me cooking dinner in the kitchen. And Lane's friend came to visit about a week later. And we took him to the house to see the house. And they start looking at the house and they start tearing the house apart little by little. That light switch is off. That's crooked. That's shoddy craftsmanship. And I'm like, this is my house. Stop destroying it for me. And I remember my friend saying to me, it would not be a wise investment for you to buy this house. And so I let it go, and the house went on the market, or the house went off the market. And a few weeks later, it came back on the market, and I was like, that's because it's our house. Like, God is doing something here, right? And I came and I walked the house again like a creeper, and I started to see for myself. I was like, you're right, that beam is not even. And there's something wrong with that. And there's something wrong with here. And that house went back on the market twice more. And I finally, walking that neighborhood, talked to a neighbor who lived next to the house. And I said, why do you think it is that this house isn't selling? And he goes, it's because they don't want to tell anybody, but it's a foundational issue. It's not on sturdy foundation. And I was like, that's not the Holy Spirit in my life right now. But that is some of us on and off dating apps. You see the red flags, you see the light switches crooked, but you don't even know what is actually below the surface, what foundational things God might be sparing you from. And it's incredibly hard to do that when you start marrying people in your mind. When before you've even gone on the first date, you like have the bridesmaids' dresses picked out and you have the three children. Like, that's dangerous. On the adverse, not something I was expecting to say, I also think we have the other option where we date somebody and we know they're not our person, but we don't want to let them go because we are afraid that if we let them go, that's it for us. We don't want to be single anymore. This is good. This isn't God's best for me, but this is good. I could make this work. And I think one of the most mature things that we can learn to do is to let someone go when you know that they're not the right person for you. That we don't hold on to them out of fear that someone isn't coming for us. That's a disservice to you and it's a disservice to them. Because someone, it's so impactful to be able to let somebody go, somebody that maybe you even loved. But to be able to say, I believe someone is going to come for you and that person's going to be absolutely wonderful, but it's just not me. That's the thing, is sometimes people look really good on paper and it's all the right things, but it's not your person. I didn't intend to get that deep in that moment, sorry. The next point, I forgot where I am in keeping count, 7. Take breaks. If the apps exhaust you, take breaks. Apps can happen in seasons. There'll be seasons where you feel ready to be on apps and seasons where you don't. And listen to yourself and listen to your gut and listen to the wisdom around you if it is a season for you to come off the apps. 8, bad dates will happen and bad dates exist on and off of the apps. If you go on a bad date, that does not automatically mean it is because of a dating app. You see, when I moved to Atlanta, I had a person set me up on a blind date, and she wasn't really a friend of mine, so that probably should have been the first red flag. But I went on the date anyway, and I wish I could have taken you on this date with me. We're sitting there, I'm gonna paint the picture for you. We're sitting outside on a patio. There's like this asparagus appetizer between us. That should have also been an indicator that something was wrong. I'm sitting with him, and in the distance, we hear a train go by. And he looks at me dead in the eyes, and he goes, I remember that sound. And I said, what? And he goes, that's the sound that Jesus made when he came back. I'm not kidding you, guys. And I literally was just sitting there, and I just said, I didn't know that happened yet. And he goes, oh, I guess that means we just have different theology. And that is when I realized I was on a date with a man who thought that the rapture had happened and we were the left behind. All that to say, my most humble dating experience. Those apps, they may happen, and if we live to tell about them, they can be really funny and comedic relief, and God bless that man wherever he is, if he is tuning into the live stream. But just because we have a bad experience does not mean that it is always the apps. Now, I want you to practice safety, and I want you to practice wisdom, and meet in public places. That's a really good idea. Don't do what I did. My now husband picked me up for our first date and I got in his truck and I look back and I think, what were you thinking, Hannah? But my roommate met him at the door. I don't know. All that, yeah. Okay, next point, close to the last point. 9, ladies, it is okay to make the first move. You initiating does not mean that you are doing the pursuing for the rest of your life. That's not what's happening here. And here's the thing, guys, women, between us, like, we're terrifying. Like, we can be terrifying. Like, it can be hard. And so, like, if a man is reaching out to you, like, talk to him back. Like, we say we want to be pursued, but we don't want to stop playing games. Like, we need to both meet each other on the level playing field here. But I initiated it. I went for that man. I said, that's my husband right there. I didn't say that, but I said, I'm going to date him. I'm going to date his face off. And that's the thing. I didn't know that he was resistant. I didn't know that he was kind of like, why am I on this app and what is going on? And so initiation does not mean pursuit. Now, he asked for my number and he took me on that first date and he pursued me. Pursuit is important. At the same time, it's okay to make that first move. Next point, I think this is a 10, 11. 10, thank you. I already said meet them in public places. Video call beforehand if you can. Don't knock them after just the first date. Now, sometimes you will know that you need to knock them. If they start talking about the rapture, get out. But I'll share a little bit of my story. I was sharing it last night. Because I do believe God speaks into our circumstances and God gives us divine wisdom and divine visions about the people that we're going to meet, the people we're going to marry. Like, weird things can happen and it's awesome. And so in 2011, I was worshiping one day at a conference and I had this very clear vision in my mind. It was dark in the vision. I was giving somebody a hug and they were wearing a blue and green plaid flannel shirt. And I knew in that moment that whoever that person was, that was my husband. I don't know why, I can't explain it, but I wrote it down in a journal. And years later, and here's the thing, God has a sense of humor. And so every single guy that I dated wore a blue and green plaid flannel shirt. I just knew it wasn't the blue and green plaid flannel shirt that I had seen. It was like smaller checkers or like there was red in it. And I was like, that's not it. That's not the one. And so I go on the first date with Lane and it's great. Second date, he picks me up at 2 p.m. for a concert that's happening at 8 p.m. because he was so excited, he figured we could walk around the park and talk. That is way too much talking for a second date. And I don't like live music at all, like at all. So that date went from 2 to 11. There wasn't all the things in the world to talk about. So I remember leaving that night being like, I'm not going to see him again. Like, I am not going to, that's just too much. We just are not a match. And I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm going to be real with you guys. I tried to ghost him after that. I tried to slowly creep back because he was invested and suddenly I was not. And he was strategic. Very strategic. He knew I was having a girls' night, and so he arranged for flowers to be sent to the door during the girls' night. And when I opened the card, it was the emoji poem that he had written for me. And it was my roommate that was like, oh no, you have given so many people so many chances before that didn't deserve chances. Like, you're going on a third date with this guy. So third date, he wanted to cook for me. And I show up to his house, and he opens up the door to his condo, and it's dark. And he's wearing a blue and green plaid flannel shirt, and he gives me a hug. And in that moment, I knew that was the shirt. And I was, that whole day, of course, I didn't tell him that. I wasn't like, you are my husband sent from God. But I knew in that moment, I was like, okay, God, I'm listening, because I want to run, but I think that you have me here. And so all that to say, had I given up on the second date like I intended to, I would have missed that. And I don't believe, like, honestly, this might be controversial. I don't know that I necessarily believe that there's only one person for us in the world and we have to find that one. Because honestly, that just takes away from the gospel. The point is to build the kingdom and to make disciples, not to go and find that one person. And so all that to say, I don't believe that I wouldn't have met somebody great eventually, but if I had knocked him out right when my feelings told me, I'm not sure if we're compatible, I would have missed that third date and I would have missed what God had for me. And now the last point that I want to make is simple. Treat others how you would want to be treated. I can't stop all the ghosting that happens on these apps, and I am so terribly sorry for the ghosting that happens on the apps. Hey, I was a ghost at one point. I am a former ghost, now not a ghost anymore. And I look back and I wish that I wasn't. But if you have been ghosted, I am sorry, but I also want you to know that the closure that you were looking for is not waiting for you in that other person. That's not how it works. You don't need to go sit in a coffee shop with this person from 5 years ago to get that closure. You can create that closure for yourself. God can close that off for you. And so to finish it off, I just want to leave you with a quote from my friend Ashley. And she wrote this quote, and she met her husband on a dating app. And she said, "Dating apps are not the best. They can seem cold and impersonal and trivial at times. I had some less than lovely experiences using them in college in my first 2 years post-grad. For a long time, I swore them off, bound and determined to meet somebody in real life. But I'm so glad I listened to other friends who had dating app success stories. Lucas Mackenzie Whaley is the cutest, most giant, sweetest human being alive. And because of the internet, I get to be relentlessly loved by him until we are old and wrinkly and gray. Which is why I tell every single guy and girl I know to give dating apps a chance. I extol the virtues of Bumble nearly once a week to someone. Dating apps are not the best, but the humans using them sure can be. The internet has given me some of my best friends, some of my best surprises and greatest gifts. So it only makes sense that God would use the internet to give me my greatest love and the best gifts of them all. Thank you."
The Heart of Dating podcast is created by Kate and JJ Tomlin. Shout out to our epic audio and video editor, Scott Caro. We have an amazing Heart of Dating team who helps bring the show to you each week. I want to shout out Kelsey Napier, our Heart of Dating digital marketing coordinator, and Elena Gibson, our brand and community manager. We couldn't do it without them. Now, if you guys have never ranked us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify, would you consider doing that? It would mean so much because our podcast can get more discovered and more people can learn how to better date as Christians. Don't we all want that? We launch our podcast each and every week on Wednesdays. So we will see you next week.